Glad you're here today. I hope you're glad you're here today. We are at week 6. This is the last week in this Belong series. We are wrapping it up. What does it mean to be part of a church? Well, this last thing today, it means I'm blessed. It means I'm blessed. We want to enjoy the blessing that we have as followers of Jesus and children of God. We are so blessed by him. I hope the songs we sang this morning encouraged you. I got to sing them all week, and they blessed me. So I don't know. I'm sure they don't bless you as much as they bless me, but hopefully they bless you some. You know, when you think about Christianity and what we have in Christ, the gifts we've been given, there's no room for depression in this, in what we have. Not that it doesn't happen, but it doesn't belong. Depression doesn't belong here. So some of the things we're going to think about today hopefully can help kick that discouragement, depression, downness, whatever you want to call it. Just kick it out, because we have been given so much, and we just need to soak in it and understand it and appreciate it and grab a hold of it. Just to start out, I just want you to look at the Apostles' Creed again. Look at the Apostles' Creed and see how many blessings you can find tucked into this core statement of belief. So you can do this with a partner, you can do this by yourself, but you have an insert in your program already. So just circle the things. If you see a blessing, circle it. See how many you can find in the next 2 minutes. Go. About 30 more seconds. How many did you find? Did you get through it? How many of you found at least 5 blessings? Raise your hand if you found at least 5. 8. Found at least 8 blessings? Keep your hand up. 10. 12. 13. 14. How many we got? How many? 21. Anybody have more than 21? And still going. 175. Wow. 35. Wow. There are a lot of blessings tucked in here. I found 12, okay? You guys are great. But just looking at these words, God is our Father. The creation. Think about the gifts God has given us. The creation is a gift for us. Jesus Christ is a gift. His suffering is a gift. His death is a gift. Justice that he brought to us is a gift. The Holy Spirit, the church, fellowship, forgiveness, our resurrection, and eternal life. And about 13 more. We are blessed. We are blessed. What is it that you're wanting that you don't have, that you wish you had, that you don't need? We already have everything that we need. How do I know these blessings are mine? How do I know this is for me? I'll give you a passage. We're not going to hang out here, but 1 John 5, verse 11, this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And here it is. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So these blessings are not for everybody. They're for those who have the Son. And I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, Jesus, so that you may know that you have eternal life. These are for us if we have Jesus, if he has us. So as far as I know, for the most part, you are followers of Jesus and these blessings are yours. I can't say that for sure, but pretty confidently, most of you have these blessings. We have been deeply blessed by God. There's no greater blessing to be found than what we've already been given in Jesus. So our purpose this morning is to drink deeply from these blessings and treasure them even more. If we don't treasure them, we won't enjoy them. We'll wish for something else. The more we treasure these blessings, the more we won't feel this emptiness and this need for something else. God, I pray that you'll help us. Help us to treasure the blessings you've given, which are greater than anything else we could long for. In Jesus' name, amen. Last weekend was Ethan's birthday. He turned 6, and before his birthday, Ann and I really were wrestling with what should we get him for his birthday, and we wrestle with this sometimes. He has pretty much everything he needs. We don't like to accumulate lots and lots of stuff. We don't really have room for tons more stuff. So we're kind of wrestling with what should we get him. And honestly, Anne is a lot better at coming up with good gift ideas than I am. So I often kind of lean more on her for that than she probably prefers. So I decided I'm going to try to think about it this time. I'm going to think, what can we get him that would be special, that would be meaningful, and that he would really enjoy? So I thought a remote control car. He loves Matchbox cars. He loves monster trucks. He loves stuff like that. And I just started to germinate about this idea. Like, what if I found a remote control car? Not one that's going to break in 2 seconds and one that won't turn left, but one that will actually go where you want it to go, that has some speed and fun. So I started researching. I'm looking online. What are the best remote control cars you can get within like an affordable price range? And so I found the ECX Ruckus. This is what I found. And this thing will do 20 miles an hour. This thing will do all kinds of jumps and flips, and it'll land on its 4 wheels again and keep going. So I decided, all right, this is the one I'm going to get. Hopefully it won't let me down. So I found that thing on eBay, and I got it. And I got it like a week before his birthday. And I didn't tell him what it was. I'm like, you're going to be excited about this. And this is for like ages 14 and up. So I'm getting you a gift for ages 14 and up. And this is going to be so much fun. And so I'm building it up, and he's excited, and he's pumped to get his gift. But I was probably even more pumped. Well, as the giver, what do you think I wanted Ethan to do with his gift? Do you think I wanted him to open it up and say, hey, this is cool, and then stick it under his bed and leave it and forget about it? Is that what I wanted in my heart? I wanted to play with that thing. I mean, I wanted Ethan to play with that thing. I wanted him to open it and his eyes to bug out and be like, this is amazing. Let's play with it now. I wasn't disappointed, thankfully. He does really enjoy playing with this thing. But it would be such a huge disappointment if he didn't like it and didn't want to play with it and left it in the box. You know what I mean? But I got to watch him playing with it out in our backyard and in the beyond our backyard. He was laying in the grass, his feet up in the air, and he's just making this thing go, doing jumps, and just see the delight in his eyes, like as we're playing with this thing together. That was good. It's fun to see someone enjoying the gift you gave them, right? Do you know what that's about? Have you seen that? Somebody, you give somebody a gift and you see them enjoy it. That makes you feel so good. God is a giver, isn't he? And he's given us some really incredible gifts. And sometimes we stick them under the bed and forget about them. And we have no idea what's inside the box. That's disappointing to God when his children are missing out on the joy of these gifts. Maybe the gifts are theirs. Maybe they really are his children, but they're all these boxes under the bed. You got to jack up the bed to fit the gifts underneath. Are you enjoying the gifts God's given you? Are you really enjoying them? Playing with them, holding them, using them, and appreciating them. They are just a touch better than the ECX ruckus. Maybe a lot better. Maybe a lot better. God wants us to treasure the gifts he's given us. He wants to hold them and use them and be changed by them. So my goal this morning is to help you do that, because it's so easy to take his gifts for granted. So one thought I had as I was thinking about this is it kind of helps to remember what we had before I got his gifts. Some of us have had his gifts for years and years and years, and maybe you've forgotten what it was like before. So first we want to go back there. What was it like before God blessed me with all these gifts? And maybe you'll appreciate the gifts just a little bit more. So open your Bible to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, the end of the New Testament, page 845 in the Bibles we provide. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. What you're going to look for as I read this, you're going to look for three things. There's a whole bunch of words, just descriptive words that are embedded in this passage. And so you're going to look for what was it like before I got the gift, the gifts of God. What's God like? And what's it like now? What are some of these gifts that I've been given? Verse 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. There is a load of encouragement in this passage. And so as I started reading it, and just right away I noticed all these words, these descriptive words, just like bam, 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 bam. This is what it was like. This is who God is, and this is what it's like now. And it just, that's just kind of how I broke it down. So I want to do that with you. So we're going to spend some time at the chalkboard and look at those three categories. It starts out talking about me. Me in my initial state. This is the condition God found me in. What words does he use to describe my initial state? You don't have to make up words, just the words that are right there. What do you find? Foolish. What else? Disobedient. Okay? Led astray. NIV says deceived for that one, right? And what else? Enslaved. Those are some pretty strong words, aren't they? At one time, we too, this isn't just Paul saying, you guys, this isn't just saying some people, those riffraff over there, we, at one time, we, this is like an all-inclusive we, all of us were foolish, disobedient, led astray, and enslaved. This is us before. This is our initial state where God found us. Is that true? Can you remember a time when you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved? Can you remember what that was like? Foolish. How are we foolish? God tells us we should confess our sins, right? Confess our sins. But in our foolishness, we think we can hide our sins from him. Think about that. We try to hide from, that's been going on from the beginning, right? We want to make ourselves look like something we're not, whether it's for other people or for God. That is foolish. Can you hide anything from God? Can you hide your true you? You can fool me pretty easily. Are you gonna get away with hiding something from God? We our thinking is clouded in our previous state. Most of you got to that place where you know you can't hide anything from God, and that's not a surprise. But with kids, they reflect this. Kids are a great example for this. They think they can hide their sin, right, from their parents. They think they can hide it, and it doesn't matter how much chocolate is on their face. No, I didn't do it. It wasn't me. You should have seen some of the videos I found about this. I'm going to share one with you. But this, we get more sophisticated about hiding our sin when we get older, but this is what we look like to God, okay? This is what we look like to God.
Hey, Brindley, did you get me the Nutella?
No.
You didn't? Really?
No.
Promise?
No.
Brindley.
Did you get into
the
Nutella?
Did you get to the Nutella?
No.
Really?
No.
Well, what did you do?
I just washed the dishes.
Does she look like she was washing
what?
The dishes?
Brindley?
That's what we look like to God. No, it wasn't me. I don't know who it was. It was somebody else. There was another one where this kid had chocolate all over her face. She blamed her little brother for like smearing chocolate on her face. This is what we do. This is what children do. My sins are that obvious to God. It's right here. It is right here. Don't go before God and pretend that you're something you're not. Confess your sins. You're so much better off confessing it to him because he already knows. So let's throw off that foolish idea that we can pull one over on God. We don't need to fool him. We need to be forgiven by him. Just one example. There are so many ways that we're foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. When we start on this path of foolishness and disobedience, when we choose this, as children or as adults that are far from God, when we start on this path, as we go, we are building up to this. We're becoming enslaved. As we continue and we think we're getting away with it, or we're getting into this enslaved idea. Now, there's a different word today that we use for enslaved. What does the world use for in place of enslaved today? Can you think of a word? Addiction, right? Addiction is a replacement word for enslaved. And the word kind of throws the blame off of myself in a way that it's really something that happened to me. It's a disease. We are enslaved in our initial state. And there are many different addictions, if you want to call them that. There are many different addictions that we deal with. All kinds of, how does he put it? Enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. And when you say the word addiction, you immediately think of certain things. Alcohol, drugs, other things might come to your mind. But there are a host of things that we can be enslaved to that maybe don't feel maybe all that bad. My kids came home from school with an article about video games a couple weeks ago, and I was shocked to find out that people have died of video game. They were on them for so long that they died. And it was, I couldn't believe it. They were that enslaved. Just two examples. In 2005, Sung Siab Lee visited an internet cafe in the city of Taegu and played StarCraft almost continuously for 50 hours. 24, 48, right, do the math. more than two continuous days, he went into cardiac arrest and died at a local hospital. A friend reported he was a game addict. We all knew about it. He couldn't stop himself. They die from being sedentary. They get blood clots in their legs because they haven't moved for that long. Multiple people have died. 2009, this is sad. 2009, Kim Sa-rang, a three-month-old Korean child, died from malnutrition after both her parents spent hours each day at an internet cafe rearing a virtual child in an online game. Prius Online. Their real child died as they raised something else. That's extreme, right? That's extreme enslavement, addiction. That's the path we're on. That's the path we're all on, going that direction. Pre-Christ, pre-God. We were all foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved. That's our state. He goes on and talks about like kind of things that we're doing. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. So in this state, our function, I'm going to make a separation here. Our function was malice. What's the other one? Envy. Being hated and hating one another. I'll just write hatred there. My state was total foolishness, enslavement. My function was malice. That's like trying to hurt other people. Envy, wanting badly what someone else has, and hatred back and forth. That's a description of us. If you have children, you can see sometimes that hatred back and forth when I want it. I don't care about you at all. Give it to me. I will push you down the stairs to get the balloon. Like all of our kids, we can see that in all of our kids. This isn't like, well, that's a really terrible kid. No, all kids go through that. All kids are on this path. And if God doesn't rescue us before, then adults are on this path too. That's where we are. Do you remember what that was like for you? Do you remember before God came into your life living in that state? I'm just going to expose a little bit of my past. You're thinking back to your past here, right? You're thinking back as far back as you need to go. I remember being on the path to becoming enslaved. I remember it very well. I was on the path to be enslaved by lust in my preteen, early teen years. It was very clear. I was very clearly going down that path. I would go to the grocery store with my mom so I could go to the magazine rack. They didn't have horrible things there, but they had enough. And I wanted to start out with baseball cards, and then there was other stuff there. Caught my attention. And then I went to the grocery store so I could see more skin. I would see glossy pictures of skin. That's what I wanted. I was heading down that path, and that's the path I wanted to go down. And I would walk around in guilt. I would have so much guilt and fear that my parents would catch me, that they would know what I'm doing. And it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it started going down that path, and it started getting worse and worse. And I had this guilt, this fear, this shame that God knows what's going on, but I still am going after it. I still want it. I was walking right into lust trap of enslavement. And I wanted it. I daydreamed about the day I'd be free from supervision and I could get away with anything. When all the rules and all the people watching me were gone, I could do anything I wanted. I looked forward to that. I remember that. That was not a good road to be on. That was foolish, disobedient, deceived, and getting to be enslaved. That was darkness. Do you remember what it was like for you? Do you remember that? It's not the same thing for you, probably. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe you're still there. Maybe you're still in that state. But in that darkness, whatever it was for you, comes verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Thank you. He saved us through the washing of rebirth, renewal by the Holy Spirit. It was the kindness and love of God that got me off of that road. And if you have a story, it was the kindness and love of God that got you off of that road. I am so thankful he rescued me from that life. And just to think about what would my life be like today if I continued down that path, if the kindness and love of God had not intervened and I just got what I wanted, where would I be? I wouldn't be here. And I wouldn't have the amazing family God has given me. I wouldn't have any of that. Where would you be if God hadn't rescued you? Where would you be? Not all of you have a past that's just full of darkness. Right? Some of you grew up in a great home. You had great parents and a great background, and everything was good, and you were homeschooled, and everything was fantastic. There was nothing really bad in there. And you're maybe thinking, "My God, I'm glad I never went there. I'm glad I never had any of that stuff." You can live in a clean environment and still have a corrupt heart. Definitely you can. And those who think they're clean, you know, there are those who think they're clean and those who know they're dirty. Who did Jesus have more trouble with? It's those who thought they were clean, right? Those who thought they had it all together. I come from a great line. I'm a Levite. I'm a priest. I'm a synagogue ruler. Jesus had the most trouble with them. So they didn't recognize the corruption in their heart. That's the most difficult place to be sometimes, that you look great on the outside and no one can see how vile we are on the inside. This is true for every one of us. Every one of us. It may not appear as dark or as dirty, but every one of us is just as needy. Just as needy. So that this passage is so rich for every single one of us. So okay, I think we can move on from my initial state. Can we look at God now? Verses 4 through 7. What words describe God? What words describe God? Love. Pretty important one, right? Kindness. What else do you see? In your Bible, circle those words. These words that describe God, circle them. Mercy. Generosity. One more. Selfless? That's true. That's true. Is that in your Bible? We're looking for the words that are right there in the passage that we can circle, underline, highlight. Eternal? Is that in there? Eternal life? That's for us. That's not a description of God, a direct description of God. I think I heard it. Grace. Grace is the last one that's right there to be underlined. And when you start seeing the blessings that we have, that's hard to, I mean, they kind of blend in a little bit with what we have. The kindness and love of God appeared in his mercy, his generosity, and his grace. Those five words are right there. This is God. This is who God is. So think about it for a second. Think about what we just talked about. We were walking around in foolishness, disobedience, deception, and addiction, and along comes God. Now let's be reasonable, okay? We understand where we're going with this, but be reasonable. What do we deserve at this point? Those things? What do we deserve? Judgment, death, wrath, punishment, right? Those are the words that should be here if God was fair. Don't ever say you want God to be fair. Don't ever say that. Along comes God, and what does he bring with him? Kindness, love, mercy, generosity, and grace. This is what God, the Father, the Creator, brings to us in our foolishness, deception, enslavement, malice, envy, hatred. This is what we bring, and this is what God brings. This is a very special gift. This is an incredible kindness that we have from God. This is amazing. You know what mercy and grace are, right? Let me just review it, just in case there's a couple people who may not get it. Mercy, if you plead for mercy, you're saying, please don't give me what I deserve, right? This is God not giving us what we do deserve. Grace is the opposite. Grace is when God does give us what we don't deserve. Not too complicated. They're kind of opposites. I don't get what I deserve. I do get what I don't deserve, right? And generosity, you understand that. Kindness and love, you get that, right? This is really good. This is really good stuff. Verse 5, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. How do we get his mercy? Through Jesus, right? Through Jesus. That judgment, that death, that wrath, that discipline, that punishment, all that stuff, that went somewhere, right? That went on Jesus. He is just. And he put all that on Jesus so we could get all this. This is amazing. This is really, really important. This is really good. So this is a pretty good gift that we have from God. The passage is going to get more specific. What is it like? What is this gift like? It's going to unwrap it and use 7 different words to describe, this is my new state. Okay, so now we get to look at, here's the new me, my new state. And what words do you see there? What words describe my new state? I am saved. Yeah. Okay, keep going. What else? You may not see the same words that I see, but they're in there. What other words do you see? Renewed? I am renewed. Yep. What else? Washed. I'm washed. What else? I'm loved. I am loved. I don't know if that word is in there. Definitely true. It's kind of part of this whole thing. I am justified. Yeah. I would encourage you, I ask you to circle these words if you're willing to write in your Bible. Underline these, circle these, and give a double underline for these. Double underline for these. I am justified. What else? I am an heir. We are heirs. Yep. What else? 5, there should be 2 more that I found anyway. Regeneration. Yeah, there are two that are together on that. Regenerated and renewed and reborn. That's, I don't know what your translation says, but NIV says reborn. So I'm going to put that one down here. I'm reborn. And the last one is at the end. I have the hope of eternal life. Eternal life. This is my new state. I'm saved. Now, what am I saved from? I'm saved from my foolishness. I'm saved from my disobedience. I'm saved from what's coming as a result of that. I'm saved from the wrath of God. I'm renewed. What does that mean? There's a new me, right? I'm not over there anymore. I'm not deceived. There's a new me. I am renewed. I'm a new person in Christ. I'm washed. What is that talking about? I've been washed. That's forgiveness, right? I've been washed clean of my disobedience. The malice, envy, hatred, washed clean, justified. You know what that means? I'm not guilty anymore. I'm declared not guilty. I'm righteous in God's sight. Forgiven. Heirs, we are heirs. We're heirs of God. Think about this whole creation. We think about the whole universe. I'm an heir to God. Reborn. What is that about? Born into a new family, right? I'm born into the family of God. And I have eternal life with God forever. That is pretty nice. And probably none of those are like, whoa, I never knew that. But it's some of those things are sitting under your bed. Right? From what I really deserved to this is an incredible leap. This is not where I belong. 1 Corinthians says it well. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is amazing. This is amazing grace. Treasure this gift. So what's we have over here, this is my state and this is my function. If this is my new state, what's my new function? Do I have a new function? I would suggest that my new function is this. Now that I have been rescued and saved from my foolishness, from my enslavement, all this stuff, I now have the opportunity to be what God is. To reflect love, kindness, mercy, generosity, and grace. That's the new me. This is my new function. But it's not a guarantee. This is my choice. I now have the choice to live here, but I often will go back. And I think you know what that's about. You ever go back to foolishness? You ever go back to old ways of thinking? I don't have to go back there anymore. I will, but I don't have to. I did this week multiple times, but I don't have to. And I can reflect all of these things that God is, and I have reflected those things this week. All right, so this is my new function. My new state is what God has done in me. My new function is what I can be now that I have been given all of these gifts. There are two states over here that I think connect directly to this belong series, this belong idea. I am reborn into a family, right? Born again into a new family, not just a physical one, but a spiritual one. And we are heirs. We are heirs together. Together we are going to inherit all this stuff. Together we are going to be with God forever. So those two things are things that are not just for me, but they're for us. So now look at the things that God is. Love, kindness, mercy, generosity, grace. How many of those things can I do in isolation? How many of those things can I be and reflect all by myself? Out of five, how many? None. Some people would say, oh, I can be kind to myself. I can love myself, right? Well, that's hogwash. That's not what we're talking about here. That's not it. These things can only be expressed in community with other people. I cannot express mercy to no one. I cannot be generous when no one is on the receiving end. We need each other to reflect these things. We need to be involved in people's lives to show the character of God, to be the character of God. God never intended life to be lived in isolation. So one of the gifts that God has given us is to include us in a body, to include us in a church family. This is a gift. that enables us to be what God made us to be. So this is a treasure. This is part of the treasures, to be part of this family full of imperfect people. We're all broken, right? But we're all in this together. We have opportunity to show mercy and grace, right? We have opportunity to show kindness to someone who's struggling. This is part of the gift, and it's an opportunity to reflect to God. When you really think about where you were, where you have been brought to, what God has done in you, there's really, you know, you compare that with the things that you wish you had, the things you feel like you're lacking. When those are packages that have been opened and enjoyed and played with, the things you feel like you're lacking get much smaller. They really shrink and shrivel. That's what God wants to do for us, because our perspective is off. We don't need more blessing. We need to treasure the blessing we already have. And something that's cool that happens is that the more I treasure this, the more I recognize this, and I'm just like, wow, God, you are awesome. The more I understand this stuff, the more I get to become the gift for someone else. That's where God wants to go with this. He wants to make you part of the gift. And the more I get this, the more I'm part of the gift. Think about how will you bless someone when you're on that side? When you're deceived and slayed, full of foolishness and darkness, malice, envy, and hatred. Who are you going to bless? You are a curse when you live there. But when you allow God to change you and you live love, kindness, mercy, generosity, and grace, what's going to happen? You will be a blessing. You will be a gift. So I treasure this stuff. I let it soak into me, become part of me, and now I get to be part of the blessing. We're on a stage somewhere. You're somewhere along the line in becoming that. That's what God wants you to be. Some of us are maybe further along than others. Some of us are stuck in the first stuff. And we need to get jolted out of that and recognize what God has really made us for. Nobody wants to be a curse, right? You want to be a blessing. And we struggle. We struggle in between the two worlds, right? I know. This is for all of us. We struggle in between these two worlds. I want to live in that world where God is. Verse 8, we didn't talk about yet. After Paul went through all this stuff, he said, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. Now that you know this is true of you, now live a life devoted to doing good. Now, why? What's our motivation for that? Why should we devote ourselves to doing good? Is it because God's going to get us if we don't? Is that why? Is that what motivates us? I'm motivated by the blessing I've been given. When I understand that, I just want to do that. I just want to reflect his character. I want to because I'm blessed. So from verse 8, you can see you have a choice. Devote yourself. You can either do it or not do it. I can go back and live in the old way. I can just live for myself and hurt people. Or I can live according to those five things that God is and bless people. That's each one of us has a choice. A treasured gift become a blessing. And as we do that, you know, these five things, love, kindness, mercy, generosity, and grace, as these start to come out of us, there's something kind of interesting that happens. We don't look like clones. You know, God's given us all these things, and they're all the same. But when God's gifts come into us, they come out differently. Everybody's different. Everybody's been wired differently. So God's not just calling each of us to become a clone of mercy and just to reflect the same exact thing in the same exact way. He made you to be you. And so he wants you to be fully you, the new you, where you take God's character and blend it with your wiring and your unique design, and that's when you get to become fully you. That's what he wants to do. He's not trying to just take you and make you some kind of Christian clone and everybody's exactly the same and welcome, we love you, hug. Like, you have a uniqueness that God wants to bring out. You don't need to become like me or like somebody you're maybe looking up to here. You're supposed to be fully you. The new you. Your uniqueness, God's kindness. And Romans 12, just real quickly, we're going to go here just to show in light of all that God's done for us, this is our call to action. Romans 12, 1. Paul's been talking about the same kind of stuff in chapters 1 through 11. And so he says, therefore, in light of all this, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Because God has done all this to you, it's offering of worship to just give him myself, give myself back to him. And then he talks about the uniqueness. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not all have the same function. In Christ, we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Just like the physical body, I have fingers, toes, knees. I have all these different parts, internal parts, external parts. It makes one body and it all works together. This is just a beautiful picture of what he's done here. We are a body. There are fingers and toes and knees and ears and eyes. All of these parts work together to do the same thing. But they all have different roles. They all have different roles. So in verse 6, he said, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So these are some attitudes. Do this cheerfully. Do this mercifully. Do this joyfully. Do this because you want to. Not because you feel bullied into it. You feel like you have to. Everybody's pressuring you. We do this because we want to, because we've been changed because of what we've been given. Every person here has a lot to offer the other people who are here. You have a lot to offer. You are unique. You're not me, I'm not you. You're not the person next to you. Every person is different and has something to offer, something to bring to make this body work. And I'll just give you a hint. The gifts that God has given you that you bring to the body, they're not primarily handing out programs or filling a slot in the nursery or those kind of, you know, standing up here on the worship team. That's not it. The greatest gift that you have to bring to the table is you. You. We together. Not just filling roles, not just filling slots. We're a gift to each other. Your friendship is a gift. So give it to someone. Give it to someone. That's a gift to be given. Yeah, I had a really good time at home group this week. We got to share, you know, how God has worked in our past, and we thought back, and it was just an encouraging time. I was blessed. We laughed. There were tears, and I was blessed by that time. It was encouraging to me. I was blessed by those who were there. Hopefully the Thursday group had a similar time. Was it a blessing Thursday? Hopefully it was. But that's just a time to get together and hopefully bless each other with the gift of ourselves. Treasure the gift. Let God make you into a gift. You know, Ethan and I had a good time. We've been having a good time with this thing the last couple weeks. And, you know, we'll get it out as often as we can and play with it. But the reality is, this thing isn't going to last. It's not going to last. It's going to be forgotten. It's going to break. And you know what? That's okay. That's okay. I'm already okay with it. Because this isn't the real gift. The real gift is the time with each other, the valuing my son and just having a building relationship with each other. That's the gift. And what I really want is for Ethan to experience these gifts. And I bring him here into this body, and he can experience the gift of you. And Bill and Tara were a gift to my son this week. They had some time with him, and he got to, like, ride on a combine and watch him, like, shooting corn into the pit and ride on the tractor, and he was getting chased all around. And, like, you should have seen the light in his eyes when he's telling me about that. You were a blessing. We can be a blessing to each other. We are intended to be that. And so Ethan is experiencing the blessing of the body. We bring our kids here. You guys bring your kids here. You bring yourselves here. And we can bless each other with the new us, this new us. If we're living back there, we're not going to be that blessing. If we're stuck. Treasure the gift, become the new you, and you become a treasure for someone else. You become part of the blessing. So this is what we're about. The sixth pledge. If you're ready for this, go ahead and say it with me. This membership is a gift. When I received the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, I became a part of the body of Christ. I soon thereafter identified with a local body and was baptized, and now I'm humbled and honored to serve and to love others in our church. I pray that I will never take my membership for granted, but see it as a gift and an opportunity to serve others and to be a part of something so much greater than any one person or member. This belong thing, there's a lot to it. I have a function, right? I have a part to play, and it's unique. Pursuing unity together is pretty important for this thing to work, which means I need to give up some of my preferences. I need to kind of release some of my grip on things that I must have. I'm committed to pray. I'm going to pray for each other. I'm going to pray for my leaders. I'm going to bring my family up in this. I'm going to teach them the value of it. And I'm going to treasure this gift that God has given. I'm going to treasure it above any other gift. That's what makes us belong. That's what ties us together and enables us to be what God made us to be. So we're going to have a prayer time, and you can pray for anybody who you're near and just thank God for the gifts he's given us and pray that we'll treasure these gifts and become a gift to others. Just take a minute to do that. I pray that you would make this passage alive to us, these gifts, these treasures you've given us, that they would come to life in our hearts, that we'd be amazed at what you've given us. God, we don't have to live another day in the old way. We don't have to live enslaved to so many ugly things. You've rescued us from that. You made us beautiful in Christ. We've been set free. We've been set free from your kindness and love. So I pray that each person can think back to the ways that you've set us free, the things you've set us free from, that we'd just be in awe. When I think about where I was headed, I shudder to think about where I'd be now if you hadn't rescued me. Thank you, God, that you did. And we sing, glory, glory, hallelujah. You threw my shackles in the sea. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus is my liberty. I've been set free. In Jesus' name, amen.